It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
What a joy it is to be able to speak and read the Word of God. I would encourage you to get into the Word of God. I believe the Word of God is the King James Bible. I believe that it is the God-breathed book that God would have us as Christians to get into and study. It's the book that can lead a soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like a roadmap that tells people how to be saved, and then it tells us how that we are to conduct ourselves as children of God while we're on this earth. And we've been studying in the book of Ephesians. We're in chapter 4 and verse 30, and I'll read that again in just a few moments. But you and I, we need to get into the Word of God and let God guide us through the book. Study the Word of God. I often have people tell me, well, I just can't understand the Bible. I just don't understand it. It's so hard to read. It's so hard to understand. Well, let me say this to you. There may be a couple of reasons that you're not understanding. The first reason could be that you've never been born again. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You see, the Bible promises that He's going to lead you into all truth, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. He's going to let you know what you need to do in order to go to heaven. That's what He's going to let you know. And the other things of the Bible, the history and the names and things like that, you can understand that. You can understand the history. But you cannot really get into the full meaning of the Word of God until you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And then as a saved person has said, possibly, you know, in time past, I've heard saved people say this. Well, once again, that's up to them and the Lord. Their heart, they know if they're saved or lost. That's totally up to them. But the saved person would say to me, I just can't understand the Bible. I often ask them, how many times have you read it? What do you know about the Bible? And they say, well, I just haven't gotten into it. Well, possibly that's the reason you don't know anything about the Bible. You've not gotten into it, and you haven't taken time to sit down and study the Word of God. You see, study, when we study the Word of God, it says, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A workman. That means that it takes work. When we sit down and we look into the Word of God, we glean from that book. We start reading and we start studying, and God will open up the book to us if we're willing to give God the time that is necessary to get into the book and study His Word. Get into the Word of God. Let God lead and guide you, first of all, to get saved, to trust Him as your Lord and Savior, and then get into the book as a saved person and study it, and let God open that book to you. It becomes real once we know Him as Lord and Savior. Well, we are in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Well, the Holy Spirit can be grieved for a number of reasons by the Christian. And let me remind you that I believe one reason that the Holy Spirit is grieved is because when the Word of God is presented to an individual and they don't get saved, I believe that grieves Him. He wants everybody to be saved. Well, then, if asked, what conduct causes the Holy Spirit to be disappointed in us Christians? We may answer like this. First, I see it's because of open and gross sins. Now, Paul speaks about some of these sins in Ephesians when he refers to theft, lying, corrupt communications, and this is speech, and so forth. He names things in the book of Ephesians and other places that he's written. Paul has written over half of the New Testament, and he speaks about things that causes us to have a problem, that this is a problem with the Lord. Now, we don't lose our salvation, but when we get out of the will of God, then we can lose the fellowship that should be there between our Savior and us. So therefore, we need to keep things on the up and up. We need to be able to say, Lord, forgive me of things that are in that's in my life that shouldn't be there. Help me, Lord, to overcome these things and help me to put these things aside so I can be serving you. I want to have fellowship with you, Lord. Open and gross sins can cause the Holy Spirit to grieve. And then we see that anger in all its forms could be a way to grieve the Holy Spirit. We're going to read more about that as we continue studying the book of Ephesians. But that could be a way to grieve the Holy Spirit. And nothing is more likely to drive away all serious and compassionate thoughts from the mind than the indulgence of anger. We should not be angry. We use the term mad. We should not be angry with our brothers and sisters in Christ, but we should love them as Christ loved us. He first loved us, and now, what is it? But is it too much for him to ask that we love each other, that we do not be angry with each other? We need to be angry at sin, not at each other. We need to be angry at the devil, not each other. We need to uphold each other in the Lord, loving each other, and letting each other know that we love each other. No anger. Another thing that could cause the Holy Spirit to be grieved: immoral thoughts and desires. We're humans, and sometimes this creeps in. You see, the Spirit of God is pure, and He does not want to be disappointed in us. And when He dwells in a soul that is filled with corrupt imaginings, He is disappointed. Another way to keep those things out of our minds and keep things that are pure is to get into the Word of God. Think upon the things that are good, the things that are pure. And the Bible teaches this, singing psalms and hymns. And that's another thing that I believe that grieves the Holy Spirit is when a church, quote unquote a church, does not sing to Him, but sings to each other. We need to be singing our praises to God, not to another person. We need to be singing praises for Him, not to be seen of men, but to be seen of Him, praising Him. We should not be singing for recognition from people, but we need to be singing to be recognized by God as one of His, one who is serving Him in song, one who is serving Him in doing what He wants us to do. So when we read and hear of a church that is, they do things that are not quite what we think they should be, and we can think a lot of things and we can be wrong, but when we look at the Bible, we know that it is right. And the Bible says, let things be done decently and in order. When you have a bunch of whooping and hollering in a local church, that is not pleasing to God. He wants us to do things according to His plan. And stop and think of this. If you go into an organizational church, we'll say, and everybody's running around hooping and hollering, how much of the Word of God is getting out? How many people are getting saved? Now, I spoke earlier about having joy. People look to have joy before they get saved, and they think that's part of salvation. Well, it is that when you get saved, you get happy. But it's something that when someone comes in and they see all this going on, they would be confused, and they would not understand that salvation is by the Lord Jesus Christ, not by singing a certain song, not by joining in with people and doing certain things, but it's by joining yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be careful, and we need to make sure that when we are members of a local church, that we are conducting ourselves in accordance to what God wants us to do in the conducting of ourselves in the Spirit of the Lord. And by the way, if you do not belong to a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, you need to get in one. You need to join a church that is teaching and preaching the Word of God. I'm a member right now of Central Baptist Church of Ocala, Florida. That church is preaching. Our church preaches and teaches the Word of God the way it is to men and women as they are. There is no thing that is hidden. the word of God goes forth as it is written from the mouth of God. Now notice something else here now. In order to cause the Holy Spirit to be disappointed, another way to do that is in gratitude. You see, we are ungrateful in mind and sometimes in our actions when we forget about our loving Heavenly Father who sent His only begotten Son into the world so we could be saved. And we even sometimes forget that God even gives us the life-giving oxygen that sustains our life. How long has it been since you thanked the Lord for the air that you breathe? How long has it been since you thanked the Lord for your home that you live in? How long has it been since you thanked the Lord for being able to walk? How long has it been since you've thanked the Lord for, if you can't walk, for the people who help you to get around? How long has it been since you thanked the Lord for supplying the food that you need for your life? There's so many things that we need to be thankful for today that we sometimes forget. It's in gratitude. And I believe that is a way to cause the Holy Spirit to grieve. He wants us to let Him know that we are grateful for what He has done for us by saving our soul and for what He's doing for us right now while we're on this earth. Another reason that the Holy Spirit could be grieved is neglect. The Spirit of God is grieved when we neglect to pray. This goes along with what I've been saying. He often prompts us to pray. He encourages the mind to seriousness when it comes to Bible study. And the Spirit of God is grieved when we neglect to study the Bible that keeps us from being conformed. In other words, to being like Him, not being like the world. It keeps us from being conformed to the world, the unsaved. And we're told in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We should not neglect to once again be in the Word of God, that once we get into that Word, it's going to do something. Paul the Apostle says that we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And as we study further in verse 2, it says, be not conformed to this world. Well, how can you keep from being conformed or like this world, like the unsaved? You can be a Christian, have a Christian testimony by being transformed. You're transformed by renewing of your mind, and you guessed it once again, by getting into the Word of God. This is the perfect will of God, according to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Do you know Him today as your Lord and Savior? If not, may I invite you to trust Him right now as Savior. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I admit I'm a sinner, Lord. Please save me. I want to go to heaven. I want You as my Lord and Savior. I'm sorry for my sin. Lord, I can't save myself. I'm depending on You to save me. If you'll pray a prayer something like that and mean it in your heart, trusting Jesus to save you, He is the Savior, He is God, ask Him to save you today. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.